Hi, my name is Vanessa Vallalee and I'm founder and CEO of We Are Tech Women. It gives me great pleasure to introduce you to season 3 of She Talks Tech, the We Are Tech Women podcast. What a season we've got lined up for you. Over 20 episodes talking all things tech from the front to the back of the industry. We've created this podcast for you to keep you informed, to keep you insightful, and to keep you motivated in your tech career. I hope you enjoy it. Today we hear from the amazing Emma Kendrew, Cloud Infrastructure and Engineering Lead at Accenture Technology UKI. Emma will take a look at how the COVID-19 pandemic has propelled a year's worth of technological transformation, which has catapulted us into the future. As we now emerge from the crisis, Emma considers what new set of realities we may face during this extraordinary moment of change. Exploring what this change will mean for our future, Emma will discuss how the democratisation of technology can empower all of us to be agents of innovation and change, shaping our world for the better.
There's no question that the impact of COVID-19 have been devastating. And as we start to emerge from the crisis and reflect on the past 18 months, it's clear that technology has been the lifeline that sustained us through the pandemic. And in doing so, it has catapulted us into the future. We've seen something like 10 years of transformation compressed into 1 or 2 years. For example, last year, I discussed how robots would eventually play a role in the wild, outside of the lab and factory environment. Today, robots are being deployed in huge numbers. At the University of Liverpool, scientists have been working with a robot chemist to continue their research during lockdowns. Robots have been used in healthcare to disinfect hospital rooms with UV light. And just this month, Ocado have announced plans to develop autonomous vehicle prototypes for use in delivery as well as at its depots. Or let's just take a look at our mobile phones. It's only 20 years ago that Steve Jobs announced his vision of putting 1,000 songs in your pocket with the iPod. Today, the smart devices in our pockets and in our handbags allow us to interact with people around the world at the push of a button, to augment reality with graphics and data, and to work virtually from any location. Only a few years ago, these were the stuff of science fiction. And today, they're just an everyday part of how we work and how we live. So the big question facing organisations and all of us today is less about what might be coming 10 years down the line, so much as how do we catch up with the change that's already happened and then get back ahead of it? At Accenture, we've been thinking about how organisations can adapt, and we've identified 4 new realities that we are all collectively facing. How we address these realities and what we do to shape them will determine the future. So I'm going to spend some time today exploring those new realities and what they mean for technology, for business, and for all of us. The first new reality is around the human experience. Everyone here knows just how much our own behaviours have changed over the past year. And these changes run deep. How we work, how we shop, how we exercise, how we socialise, they've all been affected. And for many of us, digital has been the go-to replacement for the services and the experiences that were denied to us by the pandemic, whether that's shopping online, joining an exercise class, or having Zoom drinks with friends. And what's striking is that it isn't confined to the younger generations and digital natives. People of all ages and backgrounds have adopted digital services at a staggering rate. If we take e-commerce as an example, a survey by Elavon, a payments company, found that almost half of 55 to 75-year-olds now do more of their spending online than before the start of the UK's first lockdown. Now, psychologists suggest that it takes 66 days to form a habit. So after well over 365 days living with the pandemic, it seems clear that these new habits will be here to stay. And they'll keep evolving as we enter our new normal. The future of human experience is here. And businesses now need to understand how their customers, employees, and stakeholders' behaviours have changed, and then adapt to meet these new behaviours and expectations. The second new reality is all around technology. Over the course of the pandemic, we've seen technology take centre stage. CIOs and their IT teams have become the new rock stars of business, putting in place the systems needed for governments and public services to look after their citizens and for companies to survive the crisis and plot a course back to growth. Before the pandemic, Accenture undertook research, which found that companies leading in the adoption of technology were growing at twice the rate of their peers. Our latest research, after the pandemic, suggests that the tech leaders are now growing five times faster than those that are further behind. The future of technology is already here, and the pandemic has just widened the innovation gap. And that means we can expect to see a continued focus on the adoption of cloud, AI, and automation at scale, as these laggards look to catch up and then differentiate themselves in new ways. The third new reality is that the workplace has changed completely. The pandemic has arguably caused the largest disruption to the workplace since the first industrial revolution. The most obvious impact has been the rise of home working, and that looks set to remain with us for the foreseeable future. One study I read found that 3/4 of workers say they want a mix of office and remote working as the new normal, and a 50-50 split is seen as the perfect balance between the two. We're therefore likely going to see the creation of a true hybrid working model, one that's not just work from home or just work from the office, but that's more fluid and less time and location dependent. And I think we'll also be much more purposeful about the workplace, where it's located, when we use it, and how we get the best out of it. Collaboration tools, like the platform we're using today, have been central to the rise of virtual working, and they've been a real focus of innovation in the last 12 months. There's been a race to introduce new features, whether that's the customized backdrop to hide your laundry or improve security for your virtual conversations. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. We can expect to see a real surge in the use of extended reality and in the adoption of digital twins to create mirrored environments where ideas can be simulated and shared across borders and boundaries before they are put into practice. The future of workplace is here, and no doubt will continue to be a frontier of exciting innovation in the months and years ahead. The final new reality we identify is perhaps the most universally important. It's sustainability. The global crisis has made many of us acutely sensitive to the other issues facing humanity, not least that of climate change and environmental degradation. And with environmental concerns at the top of the agenda for so many people, a committed approach to sustainability is fast becoming essential for all organisations. The whole idea of business by environmental, social, and governance criteria is only still emerging. Many organisations will no doubt make mistakes before we collectively get this right. But there's already been significant change. For example, the big tech companies like Google, Microsoft, and Amazon have all committed to net zero or carbon negative targets. And this is also an area that is rich in innovation. There are companies like AMP Robotics, who've launched an AI-enabled robot that sorts and picks and recovers reusable materials from waste. Or there are the machine learning researchers who've created a tool to let AI developers test the carbon footprint of their work. Moving forward, I think we're going to see a lot more focus on sustainable technology, as well as the use of technology to drive more sustainable practices. So, human experience, technology, workplace, and sustainability. Broadly speaking, these are the four new realities that organisations must focus on to catch up with and then overtake change. They must understand and adapt to new behaviours, new technology, new ways of working, and a new focus on sustainability. But this isn't just a linear journey. Businesses won't be able to just tick off these four new realities and move on. What all of these realities have in common is that they are ongoing requirements that demand perpetual innovation to get ahead of them. Organisations need to find a way to adapt and adapt and adapt again and again forever in a state of continuous transformation. That's a big ask. So how can it be tackled? Well, I think there are two trends in particular that will be crucial in the coming years. And the first of those is all about technology, because the foundation for tackling these challenges is the technology stack. And this is now well recognised by business leaders, as was shown in some of our tech trends research recently. Some 77% of the executives we interviewed said that their technology architecture is becoming critical to the overall success of their business. Now, rewind just 2 or 3 years, and I doubt that technical architecture would have held such a prominent position in the minds of business leaders. We've reached a point now where architecture matters more than ever, and an industry competition is essentially a battle between technology stacks. A great example of this trend is the different approach to gaming that's being taken by Microsoft and Sony. They're in exactly the same business, but they're increasingly defined by their technological approach. Microsoft is emphasizing cloud as the underpinning of its latest Xbox strategy, and they're working to make their games more accessible on more devices. Sony, on the other hand, is doubling down on hardware. Their new PS5 console, PlayStation VR headsets, and 3D spatial audio. The advantages of their technology architectures have allowed the two companies to reimagine how they find new customers and what they sell, but in radically different ways. Enterprises of all stripes now have more technology choices available to them than ever, from cloud services to AI models to edge devices to the design of hardware and computation. Each and every layer of the technology stack is expanding into new dimensions. The possibilities are almost endless. That means businesses no longer need to approach problems in the same ways as their competitors. It is their unique technology solutions that will be their competitive edge. So what does that mean for the next few years? Well, we're going to see the continued investment in cloud and data analytics, as well as in emerging technologies like blockchain, AI, extended reality, and even quantum computing. And the investments that are made today will set the direction for what companies can achieve in the future, dictating whether a business thrives or survives. If it was technology's turn to take center stage in the pandemic, it's now the turn of the technical architects to take the spotlight and the microphone. Making the right architectural choices will help companies build flexible and adaptive systems that can respond to ever-evolving business needs. The organizations that are most successful in future will be the ones that combine their business and technology strategies and that listen to their architects. They'll find the most valuable combination and configuration of technologies that builds in agility so they can capture new opportunities no matter how fast the world or technology is changing. But it's not just the technology that's going to be critical. Because when technology is center stage and in lockstep with business strategy, that creates opportunities for employees to become the agents of innovation and change. And so the second trend that I think is going to be critical is all about people. There's a growing realization, I think, that if every business has technology at the heart of it, if, as our phrase goes, every business is a tech business, then every single person in the company needs to understand technology and be comfortable with it. To be successful, workers need to have access to digital tools and training and the leadership and cultural support to unlock their full potential and human ingenuity. A recent Accenture report into digital skills phrased it well, I think, looking at digital skills in terms of the difference between literacy and fluency. If someone is literate in a language, they understand the basic tools of speech, such as reading and speaking. However, if someone is fluent in a language, they're able to create something new with the tools. They can craft a poem, write a song, or engage in a robust debate. Being digitally fluent is no different. Digital fluency allows people to build on technological foundations and not just work alongside them, but also to unleash creativity and make something new. Building digital fluency will be an important requirement moving forward. And one way to do this is through increasing what we call the technology quotient, or the TQ of employees. And the aim here is to make people enthusiastic about technology, to give them the technical skills they require, and to help people understand the value of technology to their jobs and to the company and the role that it can play. The increasing sophistication of technology means we can now better design it to be more intuitive to use, more human, if you like. Natural language processing, low-code platforms, robotic process automation, they're just a few of the capabilities and the services that are making technology more accessible to employees. They each have different and unique applications, but they're all bringing the innovative power of machines into human hands. Let's take Honeycode from Amazon as a case in point. That's an AWS service that lets people build mobile and web apps without writing a single line of code. That's my kind of tool. And Microsoft Power Apps is another example. Those apps give users the ability to create new software services easily and rapidly. They string together data, applications, and AI, but using visualizations and icons rather than lines of code. And here's another example. One project manager at LexisNexis Risk Solutions, He used an RPA management tool from UiPath to set up 11 robots to clear 31,000 back records in a single day. Now, not that long ago, this sort of thing would have required deep technical know-how and a team to deliver it. These new tools are doing something unprecedented. What we're seeing is an undeniable shift towards democratized technology, where powerful technology capabilities are being put into the hands of non-technical workers, ready for them to use. Democratized technology lets people optimize their work or fix their pain points on their own. Without having to request major IT projects, people can create a custom dashboard for their team's finances or an app to automatically fulfill employee requests. You name it, they can create it. And this all means that the business can be more agile than ever. Without having to wait for IT to set up systems or fix bugs, the end users can play a much more active role in the creation and the customization of new solutions. And that in turn means that our IT teams can spend more time on the large scale evolutions and injecting cutting edge technology into the business. In essence, with this democratization of technology, everyone in the business becomes an innovator and the IT team become the futurists, so that the business is ready to pivot at exactly the right time. The elevated role of technology within the business and the democratization of technology to wider teams will both be crucial in helping organizations adapt to and move ahead of the new realities we face. Indeed, when we look at sustainability, these trends can deliver real change. The democratization of technology will enable grassroots innovation by equipping every employee with the tools and the skills to build technology solutions at the point of need. And with technology democratization, everyone can be an innovator. The tools of democratization ignite transformation, and people across the organization will sustain that transformation. And that's great news from a sustainability perspective, because it means that initiatives will be driven from the ground up as well as from the top down. Now, if I do peer into my crystal ball and look ahead 5 years or so from now, I expect the trends I've discussed here today will have caused a quiet revolution in the way that organizations innovate. Companies will be much more flexible about what their core purpose is, a flexibility that they've learned from the pandemic, where brewers turned their hand to sanitizers, luxury clothing brands to PPE, and car manufacturers to ventilators. Companies will pivot to wherever they see opportunity, and that direction will increasingly come from an empowered and engaged and a tech-fluent workforce. And if I take my eyes off the future for a moment, and if I look back through history, the great pivots in human society have occurred not so much at the moment of invention as in the moment of their democratization and their use at scale. The first electronic general-purpose digital computer was invented in 1945. But it wasn't until the 1990s, when personal computers started to find their ways into offices, that the digital revolution really got into its stride. Same too with mobiles. Available since the 1980s, mobile phones only really started to transform society when they became widely accessible from the late 90s. We see time and again that real change only happens when innovation is put in the hands of the masses. And across many different types of technology, this is now happening. I believe the impact of this will be profound, and we are part of an extraordinary moment of change. People have changed. Work has changed. Technology is continually evolving, and sustainability is now mission critical. In the face of these realities, organizations are striving to adapt and then get out ahead. The past 5 years have been focused on technology and technology-centric innovation, and we've seen powerful technologies like cloud, AI, and mixed reality all mature at an incredible rate. The next 5 years will be just as much about what people do with the new realities they find themselves in. It will be about the application of technology rather than its invention, about using these new tools to their full potential. Success will come to the businesses and people who are able to apply innovation to harness value in line with a changed public consciousness and a new sense of purpose and responsibility. Imagine a world where grassroots innovation powered by democratized AI tools leads to more sustainable product design. Imagine a world where more women and minorities are empowered to use technology, driving less biased products and services for a fairer society. I think the entire nature of business could change. Companies are more customer focused than ever. And as people at all levels are enabled by technology to become innovators, these businesses will adapt and they'll start to deliver more products and services that are more socially conscious and valuable. It certainly feels to me like we're on the cusp of fundamental transformation that will have repercussions for years to come. What's important now is that businesses, workers, society, all of us embrace and pursue change so that we can make the most of the incredible opportunities before us. I leave you with a favourite quote of mine by Alan Turing. We can only see a short distance ahead, but we can see plenty there that needs to be done.
Emma, thank you ever so much for being a guest on this episode of She Talks Tech for We Are Tech Women. And a huge thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Emma, you can connect with her on LinkedIn or you can find her on Twitter.